she was going to make that ivory stand up and dance, and by golly, I believe she did. Praise the Lord. Thank you for that, Tammy. Well, by golly, did I do that? There is such a thing as technical difficulties. But I think what I'm having with this mic lately is mental difficulties, so y'all pray for me. The last time we were together on Sunday night was just a week ago, and we began to look at what the Bible teaches as it pertains to the spiritual discipline of submission. And hopefully from that message, we left with the understanding of the following. Number one, it is only through the spiritual discipline of submission that we can be brought to the point of giving up our rights. Number two, submission brings us to the point of being able to value other people in their dreams. Number three, self-denial is a way of coming to understand that we do not have to have our own way. Number four, self-denial does not mean the loss of our own personal identity. And number five, we are commanded to live a life of submission because Jesus lived a life of submission. And we left last Sunday night asking this question, asking us to take this question home. And I hope that you did, and I hope that you put it to prayer. The question was, Lord, do I live a submissive Christian life? Well, friends, Jesus taught in the Gospels a revolutionary subordination. And that theme was echoed by the writers of the rest of the New Testament. Submission is an ethical theme that runs the gamut of the New Testament, and it is also a posture that is obligatory on all Christians. The command of Scripture can be no clearer. The teachings of Scripture can be no clearer. We are to live a life of submission because Jesus Christ Himself lived a life of submission. So we're looking at these outward disciplines. And tonight God wants us to look at three things in particular, maybe four. But the first is God wants us to see the perfect illustration of revolutionary subordination that is found in the book of Philemon. And you can be looking for that New Testament book, that one letter book to Philemon. If you can find Hebrews, go back one book and you'll be right there. Third, he wants us to learn some acts of submission that should be a part of our daily lives as we walk with God. And then he also wants us to know about the limits of submission. So if you have the book of Philemon in your open now, if you would please rise as we honor the Lord with the reading of his word. From the book of Philemon. And let me ask you a question. When's the last time you heard a message from the book of Philemon? Have you ever heard a message from the book of Philemon? Well, by golly, you're about to tonight. So he says here, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, to the grace, to the church in thy house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again, that thou therefore receive him that is mine own bowels, whom I have retained with me, that that in my, thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he have wronged thee, or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me, even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this dear letter that is included in your word from the hand of Paul to Philemon on behalf of a slave, Onesimus. Lord, we ask your grace and your mercy to help us understand from this message tonight what it means to walk a life and live a life of submission. And Father, may we be submissive unto the Lord our God, and may we be submissive unto one another, that Lord, in all things, we should know the grace of God, the abundant life that Jesus Christ has promised us, and that Father, we may demonstrate this knowledge through living a grace-filled, submissive life. In Christ's name we pray tonight, and all of God's people said, Amen. You may be seated. Now, no doubt you've read the New Testament book of Ephesians before. How many of you have read the book of Ephesians? Just raise your hand. All right, we got a few. That's good. And no doubt in that book, you'll remember Paul encouraging slaves to live in a joyful spirit, voluntarily, willingly serving their earthly master. And such a thought was incredible to first century society because slaves were considered personal property, not human beings. And Paul did not stop there. He also commanded slave owners to be cognizant of their slaves' needs and attend to them. Well, it's easy to write, it's easy to say. But friends, the reality is, how would those commands play themselves out, enter the runaway slave Onesimus and the master Philemon? And if you ever wondered why this book is in the Bible, this is it. And so what happened to Philemon's runaway slave? He had become a Christian. Somehow, some way, he had fallen under the teaching of Paul. And after falling under the teaching of Paul and listening to Paul's testimony and Paul's preaching of the gospel, Onesimus, hallelujah, repented of his sin and he prayed to receive Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And he got saved. Amen. You know, and so that's just a great thing. But through his receiving of the Lord Jesus Christ as his master, this fact radically changed his relationship with his owner, Philemon. And therefore, Paul does something. He says to Onesimus, now, Onesimus, son, I know you run away. I know you didn't like what you were doing. But boy, I got to tell you, you got to go on back. You got to do what is right. And so, Onesimus, I expect you to return to Philemon. And then, Paul wrote a letter. The letter we read. And he wrote it to Onesimus, the owner. Or to Philemon, the owner, excuse me. And Philemon was to receive and to welcome Onesimus no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother. And thus we must ask, do we really understand what this instruction really means. And I believe only if we truly understand what Paul wrote in Ephesians 5 and 21 could we ever hope to understand it. Ephesians 5, 21 simply says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. I'd like to ask you a question. How easy is it for you to submit yourself to another? How easy? Is that an easy thing for you to do? Now, you don't have to answer me. God knows your heart. He knows what's zipping through your mind at this very moment. Paul's request that Philemon receive Onesimus as more than a slave is in reality a non-coercive instruction which would be fitting for a Christian brother that Onesimus is to be set free. Now I want you to note the radical subordination here. The radical subordination that we find in this letter, Onesimus was subordinate to Philemon because he returned. And Philemon was subordinate to Onesimus by setting him free. Remember, Paul has already, he's already told us, told masters that they are to be aware of their slaves' need and attend to them. And both Onesimus and Philemon were mutually subordinate out of reverence for Jesus Christ. Submit yourself, therefore, unto Christ. How easy is it for you to submit to God? How easy is it for you to submit to your husband or to your wife or to your employer or to your fellow brother or sister at the church? How easy is it to submit? And I want you to note here the great call for first century Christians to live as citizens of a new order, an order of universal submission. Each Christian was to consider others as better than themselves. We talked about that last week from the book of Philippians. Because doing so would set them free to live as Christ lived. Listen, Jesus Christ lived a completely submissive lifestyle that took Him all the way to the cross where He died for me and for you. What would be our plight if Jesus Christ had not willingly put us first and went all the way to the cross? We'd be in this world without any hope at all. We'd have nothing, friends. What hope would we have if Christ did not look down upon you and esteem you and I as better than Himself? And so do you remember what we read last week in the book of Philippians? And he said, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What does the Bible say to us? This is what the Bible says to us. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. If you cannot submit to God, the mind of Christ will never be within you. Let this mind be in you. What did Jesus do? He humbled Himself. He put us first. He looked upon us as better than Himself, and He went to the cross, and He died for our sins. Aren't you glad you got a Savior tonight? One who died for you. One who humbled Himself and put you first. Now, let me ask you a question. How easy is it for you to put others first? That can be tough at times, can't it? Christ, this is what this means. Christ had us in His mind which is the reason he did what he did. Family and friends, I don't know about you, but it's humbling to me to know that Jesus Christ looked upon me, because I think I'm the chief of sinners, and he put my needs before his own. And our need was great. Some of us are greater debtors than others, but our need was great no matter the amount, because we do not have the means with which to pay the debt. The only means to pay the debt is the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross to remove and to cleanse us from all sin. And so how wonderful it is to know. This is why Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you what? Free." When we come to truly understand what submission means, we are now free to do what Jesus did, give up our rights and the demand for our own way, just as Jesus did. Now, I'm going to tell you, this is a great need in the church today. All over the world, Christians need to learn to submit themselves to one another, because, friends, there are some Christians in some churches who do this. When things don't go their way, they just have a fit, don't they? And they pout. And they come to church and they sit and they sour and so. Well, I had one person tell me years ago, "I stopped giving to the church because I don't like what they've done." Whoo-wee! I stopped doing. What they said is, "I didn't get my way. And if I don't get my way, I'm just going to have a lifelong tempy tantrum." Listen to me. How well do you do when it comes to looking on the things of others? How well do you do when it comes to esteeming others as better than yourselves? How well do you do when it comes to walking a mile in another person's shoes? How well do you do when that moment of crisis comes and you are now called upon not to talk about your faith in Christ, but to really act out your faith in Christ, to live it out before men? And so you see, when we really begin to understand what it means to submit, it frees us up not to look on our own interests, but to look at the, into the interest of others, if you will, be it our wives, our children, or our own, or our, those whom may have authority over us. Who has authority over us ultimately? God does. You know, I'd like to share this with you tonight. A man or a woman must be willing to be under authority before they're ever placed in authority. They must be willing to do what Jesus did. They must live as Christ did, because we all know about people who have authority but who are not willing to be held accountable to an authority. Amen? In order to be a great leader, in order to be a great servant, notice what Paul says here. He says, "I am a slave." Friends, we're bond servants to Christ. We have a master. We have one we're going to give an account to. We have a Lord, not just a Savior. We can't separate them. We can't just take the Savior part with all the grace and not want to obey Him as our Lord. And so Jesus is speaking here to us, and His great call of submission is to move away from self-interest and self-indulgence, and to live the cross-centered life that Jesus Christ lived. And listen, we're going to struggle with this in this world today, because we live in a world that is constantly bombarding us with the message, "Look out for number one. Take care of yourself. Have it your own way. Oh, Calgon, just take me away." Isn't that true? It's all about us. And Jesus is telling us, and this is what makes it radical. Jesus is telling you, it is not about us. It is about others. It is about Jesus. You know, I don't know how you spell joy. Jesus, others, and yourself. Friends, we must live a life of submission. Amen? Listen to me. There also comes a time when we have to look at the limits of submission. What is a Christian's limit when it comes to submission. You see, we must try to balance this out with the other commands we find in Scripture. So for example, in the book of 1 Peter we read this, 1 Peter 2:13-14, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors. But then over in Acts chapter 4, verses 19 and 20, we find, but Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Do you see what Peter did? When the government of his day commanded the infant church to stop proclaiming Jesus Christ, listen, is that what our government is telling us in many cases today? Stop teaching Jesus. Don't pray in that name. Don't bring it up. Is there a contradiction between what Peter commanded in 1 Peter and his example in Acts 4? Not at all, because on a similar occasion in Acts 5:29, Peter had stated that we must obey God rather than men. And Paul certainly understood the cross life of Jesus Christ, and Paul encouraged the Christians of his day with Romans 13:1 with these words, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. But Paul said unto them, they have beaten us openly, Acts 16:37, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison, and now do they thrust us out privately? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out. Do you see here how Paul saw the state was failing to fulfill its God-ordained function of providing justice for all, and therefore he called them to account? And so what can we learn from these examples and from these verses when it comes to the limits of submission? The limits of submission, I believe, end at the point at which it becomes destructive. You know, sometimes the limits of submission, they're easy to determine, aren't they? For example, a parent is asked to punish their child unreasonably, and they know they ought not to do that. Or a child is asked to perform an unlawful act by an adult, and they know they're not supposed to do that. Or a Christian is asked to violate the commands of Scripture for the sake of the state, and that's basically what will take place the closer we come to the tribulation period. But friends, in each case, we know we are not to be submissive to these things. So sometimes it's easy, and at other times it becomes very difficult. For example, what about the marriage partner who feels stifled and kept from their own personal fulfillment because of their spouse's professional career, or the employer who promotes employees simply on the basis of favoritism and vested interest? What are those deprived individuals to do? And so you can see the answers aren't easy, because human relationships, say this with me, human relationships are complicated. Amen? Human relationships are complicated. And so in each case, we must turn to the Holy Spirit, and we must rely on the Holy Spirit to help us, because there's no such thing as a law of submission that covers every situation. And therefore, we can only conclude that the limits for the discipline of submission ends at all points at which it becomes destructive. And again, we look to the cross of Jesus Christ. And here's the wonderful thing. Jesus Christ, God the Father, saw that without Christ, without the cross, you and I would be destroyed. Let that sink in for a moment. And Jesus put our needs ahead of His own. And Jesus basically said, Father, I will go. I will die for them. Let's make it a little more personal. You put your own name in there. What Jesus said to the Father is, I will go. And I will die for Dawn. Listen, Father, if I don't go, Dawn will be destroyed. Dawn will have no hope. He's a goner unless I go. Let me go. Let me submit myself let me pay the penalty of his sin. Let me put his interest before my own. Let me do it, Lord. And Jesus went all the way to the cross. And I said I wouldn't cry tonight, and I won't, but there have been many a night I've cried when I think about what Jesus did for me. You see, Jesus knew something. He could willingly lay his life down, and he could take it up again. Jesus wasn't going to be destroyed on the cross. Instead, he destroyed the one who could destroy us. And you're going to have to think about that. And you're going to have to decide what we talked about. The limit of submission ends at all points at which it becomes destructive. I believe that's what Scripture teaches. Now, there's one last thing about submission, and for us to understand, is that submission and service, they must function together. And we'll talk more about this when we speak on the spiritual discipline of service. But for now, we need to understand there are 7 acts of submission that should characterize our daily lives. If we're really going to live a life of submission, the very first act is submitting ourselves to God. And again, I will ask you, how easy is it for you to submit yourself unto God? I spoke about these verses this morning. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. How easy is that for you? Lean not upon your own understanding. How easy is it for you to give up what you think you understand and not be wise in your own eyes? You see, what we're talking about is living a life, the cross-centered life of Christ, which means we must be submissive unto God as our Father. The second act of submission is to the Word of God. We are to yield ourselves to hear it, to receive it, and to obey it. And we are living in a land today where there are a lot of people who do not want to hear it, let alone receive it, let alone obey it. And so we must ask, are you willing to hear it? Are you willing to receive it? Are you willing to obey it? You see, James says, and we quote this verse around here all the time, be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Why? Because if all you do is hear it, you're only going to deceive your own self. And oh, how easy it is to be deceived in this world in which we live, because it's a deceptive world in which we live. Amen? And then there's a third act, and we're to be submissive to our family. The rule for Christian households is found in Philippians 2 and 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. That means I need to look to my wife, and she needs to look to me, and we are to submit ourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord, each putting the other's needs before our own. We must do it with our children. We must do it wherever. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others, freely and graciously. Listen, God doesn't say, well, if you do this, then I'll love you. And if you don't do that, well, you know, I'm just not going to love you today. God loves us unconditionally. And when we are submissive unto the Lord our God, we are now free to love one another unconditionally. We're free to commit to communicate with one another on every level, and share with one another all that God would have us share. The fourth act of submission is to our neighbors and those we meet. If they're in need, we help them. We are to seek to perform small acts of kindness to them, because in doing so, we are living before them in the attitude of submission. We are putting them before ourselves. We are producing within ourselves the Spirit's fruit of goodness. Listen, if we say we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Oh, how we need to have Christians today who are seen living this life with the Spirit's fruit shining through. The fifth act is to the body of Christ. We are to seek to fulfill the commandment of 1 Peter 4:10, as every man has received the gift, even so minister one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. What are we to do, church? We are to minister one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We hold the greatest treasure. We hold the very life of Christ. If you know Jesus Christ through repentance and faith, who lives inside of you? Jesus Christ. And oh, what a tragedy it is when a church falls prey and begins to demand and begins to argue and begins to fight and demand their own way and lives a life of unsubmission, when we are to be living a life of submission, ministering one to another. One to another. And then the sixth act is to the broken and despised. James 1:27 tells us, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. In other words, we are to look to help the helpless and the undefended because that's what Christ did for us. We were helpless. We had nobody to defend us. But then Jesus came. And He makes all the difference. And then the seventh act is to the world. We live in it. And therefore, we can't live in isolation from it. Thus, in order for each of us to be submissive to the world means we have to make a determination to live as a responsible member of an increasingly irresponsible society. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of this earth. We have Christ, the greatest treasure. And I will tell you, our world today needs to know about Jesus Christ and His saving grace and what He can do to save a sinner from hell. Jesus lived a life that was radically different from the way of the world. I'd like to ask you a question tonight, and you know I'm going to do it because I always do. Are you living distinctively different so that when your world around you looks at you, they can see Jesus Christ living in you? Or could you, and even I got to look at that, could we be living too much like the world so that they do not see Jesus Christ in us? It's a serious subject, folks. Hell's running rampant around us. We all talk about Jesus coming soon. Some people pray, I don't know, Lord, how you can wait much longer. Jesus is coming. We need to tell the world about Jesus because if we don't, those folks who don't know Jesus are going to be in a place we would never want to go to. Are we submissive enough to do what he's called us to do? Will we live a cross-bearing, cross-centered life and do what Jesus has commanded us to do? That's the spiritual discipline of submission. And the only way I know that we can live that kind of life is to practice the spiritual discipline of submission. You know, I had an opportunity many years ago to hear Bobby Richardson, who was a second baseman of the New York Yankees back in the late 50s, early 60s, speak at a Youth for Christ concert. Or a Youth for Christ event, excuse me, wasn't a concert. As we were sitting around the table listening at dinner and after the dinner and talking and swapping stories, Bobby Richardson got up and he began to preach and he began to talk and he said something I've never forgotten. It's been well over 30 years since I heard that message, but this has stayed with me ever since I heard it. He said, at home, that's who you really are. At home, That's who you really are. He said, put that in the light of the Word. It's real easy in a crowd to agree with the Bible. It's real easy to talk about how much you believe the Bible. It's real easy to talk about faith. It's real easy to give that quick amen in church. But at home, that's who you really are. And you know that's real true. So friends, when it comes to the spiritual discipline of submission, when it comes to living a submissive life, a cross-centered, cross-bearing life, how well do you do at home? And then Bobby Richardson said something else. He said, you know, we have an opportunity to win some championships. He said something that I'd already learned a long time ago. You only show up to play the game. But you're only going to play as well as you've practiced. And if you haven't practiced at home the kind of cross-centered life that the Bible calls us to, it's never going to produce itself in the public eye. Friends, you only show up at the game to go through the motions. But if you've practiced well, you'll win a national championship. If you practice well, you might win a World Series. But winning in life, living the kind of life that Christ has called us to, well, it's at home. That's who you really are. It's what you and I practice in our home that determines whether we're living the kind of submissive life that Jesus Christ has called us to live. Father, we thank You for Your Word tonight. We thank You, Father, for the privilege of being able to preach it. Father, we thank You for the privilege of being able to study it, to prepare. But now, Lord, Your Word has gone out. It's gone out to Your people. It's gone out on the live stream. And Lord, we can only begin to imagine how many might hear it there. But Lord, we have been privileged to be in Your house tonight, to hear Your message unto us. And now, Lord, as always, when Your Word goes out, we know it never goes out void. And Lord, You are speaking to hearts tonight. You've spoken to my heart, and You're continuing to speak to my heart. Lord, will You give us a heart to get up and live it, not just talk about it? Lord, will You use the message tonight to draw us ever near to the cross of Christ, that we might come to understand what it means to live the kind of life that You lived, to do what You did for us. May we do it unto others. Lord, may we commit ourselves and purpose in our heart that that's the kind of life we want to live. And then, Lord, we ask You to use us, that You might glorify Your name through us. Lord, we don't want the glory, nor do we deserve it. You deserve all of the glory and all of the honor and all of the praise. And so, Lord, may we live a life that would bring that to You, all of the glory and all of the honor unto the praise of God our King. Lord, we thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Marty's going to lead us in a hymn, "I Am Resolved."